Well, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. Before we get into our lesson, I just want to share a couple of things. This is going to be an abbreviated lesson this morning, an introduction to the book of 2 John. We have some very special guests that I want to introduce you to today and give them some time to share. I think you're really going to be blessed by them being here. In fact, I know you're going to be blessed by them being here. The other thing I'd like to say is one of the pillars of our church passed away this week at the age, well, he would have been later this month, 93 years old. And his name is David Cole. And David has been a part of our church since the mid-70s. His wife passed away about a year ago, and his service will be held here Thursday at 11 o'clock. I know many of you do not know him. Some of you do, and you're all invited, obviously, to come, those that know him, and you're available. But I just want to share briefly the kind of man he was. He was an usher. He was a greeter. He was a deacon. He was a missionary with Outreach Asia Nationals as the ministry manager. He and I traveled together. And in fact, on one occasion, he actually was arrested. And I was able to talk to him. And he said, you need to get moving wherever you are. And someday, maybe I'll tell that whole story. So that was kind of a very, very scary situation for David and I. But after 2 days at the police station, they finally let him go for a $700 fine. And we were able to get out of the country. He also was our business manager for many years here at Crosspoint. And I'm sharing all of that to encourage, especially the younger folks, be faithful to God. If you do nothing else in your life, serve the Lord. Amen, church? And be faithful to God, because one day all of us will be called home. And so don't waste time. Serve God every single day. And then, as Pastor Adam said, we do have the concert on Saturday. I would say to you, if you don't like Southern gospel music, it's a free meal. Okay, right? It's a free meal. So you're welcome to come, join us. It's a cheap date, guys, so this is your opportunity. But Jeff's catering will be here. We'll have a great time, 5:30, probably to 7:30 or 8 o'clock. So it'll be a great, great evening. So, why don't we have a word of prayer and kind of break between all the announcements and the worship, and now we're going into a different kind of worship, which is the teaching of God's Word, and I want to talk to you today, really over the next couple of weeks, on a very, very important subject. So let's pray together. God, thank you for allowing us to be here today. We're grateful for just the opportunity to have life, to come, and to worship. Life is very short. It's precious. And so, God, I pray that as we share the Bible today, that hearts would be open, minds would be open as well. Forgive us of our sin, our weakness, and God, help us in all areas of our lives. We need it so desperately. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle John, when he wrote 2 John, was an old man. Somewhere in his 90s, we don't know exactly for sure, but he was old. He died, we don't know exactly, once again, somewhere around 100 years old, give or take a few years. But he was faithful. He wasn't perfect, but he was faithful. He wrote 5 books of the Bible. He wrote the book of John. He wrote the book of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and what was the 5th book? Yeah, Revelation. He wrote the book of Revelation when God allowed John to see the future. Wouldn't that be amazing to be able to see the future? And God gave him that, and he wrote it down for us so that we might also know the future. But 2 John, there's a thematic pattern to the book, and it has to do with truth and love. Truth and love. And that's going to be our introduction today, because if you love someone, you will tell them what? The truth. Now, the question is, does the truth hurt? Yes or no? Yes, I would say for the most part, it does hurt. It's how you receive it. So with that being in mind, what was happening, you have to understand the background. During the time of John, there were no church buildings like this. Rome would not allow that. In fact, they had to sanction any god that people worshiped. And they worked with Israel for obvious reasons, and they allowed them kind of to do their own thing if they kept it amongst themselves. But what was happening after the church was formed, many people came to Christ, and they were pulling out of Judaism, And obviously, they were following the teachings of the apostles. And so what would happen was, since there were no church buildings, since there were no really, you know, Holiday Inns and Hiltons and all those kinds of things, it was customary for traveling preachers to stay in people's homes. Now, we do that occasionally at Cross Point. You know, we have a missionary coming. Would you like to put them up in your home for a night or two? And we have some wonderful people that do that. And so that would happen often. And there was a particular woman whom John loved and knew, and her family, which he knew. And he writes 2 John to her because there were people that were beginning to infiltrate the church. And so if somebody were to host a missionary, it would not be unusual at all for them to have a, what we would call, a house church. And that was the case in 2 John. And so we're going to get to the verses in a minute, but I want to talk to you a few minutes about truth. We have a world that really challenges people and is challenged with what is true. We've come to the place in our postmodern culture, which is defined by people choosing truth however they define it, and that's truth to them. And oftentimes, they expect that to be truth for those around them. Subjective truth does not work. You say, why, Jerry? Well, here's an example. If you go to the bank tomorrow, and you drive up to the window, or you use one of those cans that shoot through the bottom of the ground, and the lady talks to you through the intercom, and you say, here's my check. I would like a $100 bill, please. And she sends you a $50 bill. How's that going to work for you? How many would be thankful and be okay with that? Wow, why not? Because if that's her truth, why wouldn't you be okay with that? The reality of it is, there is truth, isn't there? There really is. If you go to the doctor, and you've had a bunch of tests run, and they call you back, and they have all the blood work, they have all the scans, and they sit with you, and they share the results, and they tell you, here are the results, but you do whatever you want. Here's how I can help you. Here are the medications. Here's the surgeries I can do for you. But you know what? It doesn't really matter. It's kind of subjective. You decide. What would you think about that doctor? You'd probably get another doctor. What I'm sharing with you today is this. There is absolute truth. The only areas where we don't want absolute truth, and one of the biggest ones, is that of religion, faith. It goes something like this. Well, Jerry, it really doesn't matter what you believe, long as we believe something and we're a good person. I mean, after all, when we pass from this life to the next life, we're all going to the same place, so all we have to do is believe in something. Now, what if I preach that next week? What would you do? You should leave. If you don't leave, well, you should leave. You'd say, Jerry has absolutely lost his mind. But you know what? There are churches all around America in the world that teach exactly that. And so we find ourselves now in 2 John, where John writes this lady to say, look, you're allowing people into your house. You're hosting people. And it's affecting the house church that you're involved in. People are being mistaught, and that's becoming a real problem. So what about truth? Let me share some quotes about truth. Kierkegaard, which probably most of you have never heard of, he was a theologian in the 1800s. And here's what he said, and I really like this quote. There are two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't true, and the other is to refuse to believe what is true. The end result is the same, isn't it? Nietzsche, a philosopher, was an atheist. He was anti-God. If you've maybe taken a high school course in philosophy or any kind of college course in philosophy, I know you would have heard about Friedrich Nietzsche. And he actually went kind of insane later on and ended up in a mental institution and died. But he said this, there are no facts. Well, he's already contradicted himself already. Because he's already stated a fact by saying there are what? No facts. There's another guy we're going to look at in a moment who does the exact same thing. He says there are no facts, only interpretations. Really? That's interesting, isn't it? It's almost like there's no reality. Tolstoy, the author, the writer, I like this. Wrong does not cease to be wrong because the majority share in it. Now, if we were to take a vote this morning, and we could do it secret ballot, we passed out a ballot and we said, okay, how many people believe the Bible is the Word of God? And we got 90% votes back after they were counted that said the Bible is not the Word of God. It would not affect the Bible being the Word of God, because it is. The majority is not always right. In fact, Jesus Christ lived his life and ministered in the minority. You ever thought of that? He dealt with the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Essenes and all the other religious groups. In fact, that's what got Jesus killed. The religious leaders became upset over his influence. They were losing their power. They were losing their financial credibility. And they said, we've got to get rid of this person. Why? Because he was teaching the truth. So never come to the place in your life to think just because the majority say something that it's right or not right. What matters is what's right. Carl Sagan, astronomer, he said, for me, it is far better to grasp the universe as it really is. Well, what does that really mean, like it really is? Than to persist in delusion. In other words, to persist in delusion that God was a part of it. Let's just take it as it is. Well, how did is get there? However satisfying and reassuring. Then I have another individual who recently hit the news. You might have seen it this week. I think you'll find this guy quite interesting. Now, the Predator, the Terminator, right? When I look at him, I think to myself what it would be like to have muscles like that. But here's what he said that's very interesting. He said, just a recent interview, I said, we don't know, this is Arnold, we don't know what happens with the soul and all this spiritual stuff. That I'm not an expert in. But I know that the body, wait a minute, what did he just say before that? I don't know. Now he knows. Well, do you know or don't you know? See, I would tell Mr. Arnold, if he ever visited our church, stick to acting and lifting weights. And stay out of theology and philosophy, because you're neither. Once again, you've contradicted yourself already. I don't know. But now I know that the body, as we see each other now, we will never see each other again like that. How does he know that? He doesn't know that. He has a platform because he's a Hollywood star. And let's be honest, church. How much have we been influenced by Hollywood stars? Or people on TikTok, for example. And then he says, he's uncomfortable talking about death. Why would he be uncomfortable talking about death? I'm not uncomfortable talking about death. I'm not uncomfortable around death. In fact, just this week, I went to see Brother Cole, and he died like 5 or 6, 7 hours after I was there. Scott Stewart and I went. We both know him personally. He's a very good friend of ours. You know why I wasn't covering death? Because I know where David is right today. He's with God. He's in heaven. We didn't walk in the room and say, oh, we don't know what's going to happen. We went into the room knowing that when our friend breathed his last breath, he was going to be in the very presence of Jesus. And that brought great comfort to us. When people talk about, I will see them again in heaven, it sounds so good because it is good if you know Jesus. So good, he says. But the reality is, how does he know the reality? He's never been on the other side and come back. So how does he know what the reality is? He doesn't. But the reality is that we won't see each other again after we're gone. It's a lot of guy. I mean, that's a lot of facts for a guy who says he doesn't what? Then he says, that's the sad part. I know people feel comfortable with death, but I don't. Of course you don't, because you don't know where you're going. And you know, I kind of like him. See the resemblance? Right? I mean, I like this guy. I mean, he's rugged, he's muscular, he's kind of a man's man. And you know, his movies, and maybe you don't like him, that's fine, but you can't deny he's a man's man. But sadly, even though he's famous, even though he's rich, he was a governor of a state, with all due respect, Arnold, you need Jesus. And if he was sitting on the front row, I'd tell him that. You need Jesus. And you know what, church? We don't have to be uncomfortable with death. Because death places us in a place where we will spend all eternity with God, where there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. Revelation 21:4. That's why Jesus came. Well, there's another person who spoke about death, who spoke about truth, who talked about life. Oh, Jesus. What did Jesus say? And the Word, Jesus, became flesh. Why did he become flesh? Because God is a spirit. This guy has been on the other side and came to our side and went back to the other side. I'm going to listen to this guy. And we have seen his glory. John wrote this. These three verses is the exact same John who wrote 2 John and 3 John and Revelation and 1 John. Who's full of grace and, say it together, truth. Jesus is giving us the truth. Jesus said, a familiar verse, I am the way and the truth. I am the embodiment of perfectness, truth, righteousness, holiness. When I speak the truth, and I'm life. No one comes to the Father. No one receives eternal life except through me. What a difference. I don't know. I do know. Big difference. And you will know. Not might know, could know, you will know. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from sin. Free from the judgment of sin. That's what Jesus does for us. So there is truth. In the book of 2 John, we're talking about the truth of who Jesus is. Yes, it's the embodiment of all Christianity, but who is Jesus? That's the question every man and woman has to answer. And in the first century, the Gnostics, those that preached this secret knowledge, it was an amalgamation of various pagan, Jewish, and quasi-Christian beliefs, or systems of thought. It taught that matter was inherently evil and the spirit was good. And there were two types, and we'll go over this again next week. And there were two types of Gnosticism. There were the Docetists. They taught that the body of Jesus was not a real physical body. It only appeared so. Why did they struggle? Because they taught that matter was inherently evil and the spirit was good, and no God would ever come and indwell an evil body because it's matter and it's wicked and it's vile, and God would never place himself in that kind of body. And then there were the Cerinthians. This was a thought after a guy named Cerinthus. He was a heretic in the early church. And they taught that the Christ spirit descended on the man Jesus at his baptism, but left him before the crucifixion. So we have to understand some foundational tenets to grasp what was going on in the first century. And these people, these Gnostics, were coming into house churches. They were staying over as people in good faith were opening up their home and say, come and stay with us. And while you're here, teach our people that are part of our house church. And they began to teach, and they taught that Jesus Christ was not all God and all man, and that he was not the Savior of the world. And all you had to do was put your faith and trust in him. They preached a false gospel. Paul dealt with the Judaizers who did the same thing. In the book of Galatians, he talks about these people who taught that not only that you had to trust Christ, but you had to be circumcised. You had to follow the Old Testament law. You had to keep the festivals and all these other things. Eat the right kinds of food. And Paul had to deal with them. Now we find John dealing with the Gnostics, people that thought they had some higher level of spiritual understanding. I've talked to many of those people over the years. Well, Jerry, you know, you just don't quite get it. Yeah, I know, and I'm thankful that I don't get it. And it's interesting with these higher thinking people, they struggle just doing the basics of Christianity, like going to church, giving, praying, reading the Bible. And that's exactly what was going on here. The first four verses quickly. The elder, John, he's old. He's an old man. But in the same sense, not only is he an old man, but also he's an elder in the sense of a spiritual leader. He was almost like a bishop. He oversaw many churches. He was very respected. And he writes this book to the chosen lady and her children. Theologians differ a little bit on this. I believe it was an actual lady and to her children. Some say, no, it's a metaphor to the church and to believers. So John writes this to this lady who had this house church that was allowing people in, and it was creating problems. But it wasn't only her. There were other people as well. But this is who the letter goes to. And John says, whom I love in the truth, there it is, I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, connecting God the Father with God the Son, will be with us, once again, in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us to do. What's John saying? He's saying to this lady, it's our love for the truth that Jesus is who he said he was that binds us together. You know what binds us together? Is our love for Jesus. That's why you're here. Because you love Jesus. That's why we can love one another. I didn't say we always got along with one another, but we can love one another because we both believe in the same truth. And I'm glad, church, that there is truth, aren't you? And we're going to see that later on in the book, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too early, that John talks to this lady. And he says to her that you need to stop hosting people that are teaching something contrary to the truth. He loves her enough to teach her the truth. Aren't you glad you know Jesus today? And the embodiment of this really is here. This is the truth. This is why Jesus came. I know that you are the Savior of the world who died for me on the cross. And right now, I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my life and save my soul. That's what he was telling that lady. This is the truth that binds us, that we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God, thank you today that we have the truth in the Word of God and the life of Jesus. And God, we are so thankful that you've allowed us to embody that truth through our faith. Thank you for forgiving us, for leading us, guiding us, working in our lives that we might know you more. I pray now that you'd bless the rest of our service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.